Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us here on the show is a 9-year veteran in Major League Baseball, also a Major League Baseball analyst, an ESPN Major League Baseball analyst who you saw yesterday as well. He went from the Ivy Leagues to the Major Leagues, and he joins us this morning on the show, Doug Glanville. Doug, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here.
My pleasure to have you here on the show. And I don't know what to say about the Twins. I don't know how it's possible in baseball lore that you could play 18 playoff games over 15 years with different managers and pitchers and players and rosters and lose every one of them. How do you figure?
Yeah, it feels like, you know, I came up with the Chicago Cubs, so we were still dealing with goat curses and all kinds of things, and it felt like it spanned generations, but it is pretty unprecedented. As they know, they broke not only a record, I think, in baseball, but, you know, any sport to have that many losses in a row. But they've also had this storied organization where they were like the underdog and consistently competitive, and this year's team had the second best record in the American League. But they ran into Houston in a short series of three game, best of three. Anything can happen. You get off to a bad start. You run up against a great starting pitcher, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a hole, and they never got out of it.
Well, that's what happened with the Indians, the Yankees as well. A short series, and the Yankees, who had been very up and down throughout the season, win both of those games, including a classic last night. What'd you think about actually playing the game amidst the wind and the rain last night in Game 2?
Yeah, they had everything coming at them, and they started in a delay. They got an inning in, then it was another delay. And that affects your pitchers quite a bit, because if they don't get into their rhythm or they sit for too long in any delay, you might not be able to bring them back out. And you could see the loss of sharpness right away when they did return. So that's a huge issue. And then it's just the focus, just making sure, all right, we got to stay on point here, because this game could go on, you know, as long as it did. I think it was a record-setting 9-inning game. So, but the Yankees, you know, Aaron Boone has done a great job over there, just kind of consistently having them at the top and finding ways to, you know, even through injuries, they found ways to execute with, you know, Judge going down, Stanton going down. So, but their offensive firepower is impressive. They get not only the home runs, they're disciplined at the plate. They have 12 walks last night. They have planned, and they get the big hit when it counts.
Doug Glanville joins us to break down Major League Baseball's postseason. In the ALDS, it's the Rays and the Yankees. The Astros await the winner of the A's and the White Sox. And on the National League side, when you have a couple of underdogs that take game number one, like the Marlins did yesterday over the Cubs, it makes you wonder about the pressure then sitting on the team that's down 0-1 when it's just a three-game series. How bizarre is it in a baseball landscape to lose one game, the opener, and then suddenly be playing in an elimination game? That's a lot of pressure in baseball.
Well, it is, but we also are coming off of the wild card format in recent years that was a single game elimination. Usually in a normal season, you'd have the three division winners, then you'd have these two wild card teams going at it, and they would play of sudden death, you know, one game extravaganza. So now at least they have the best of three, which is really speaks more to baseball. Baseball is about series. It's about having, you know, a rotation of pitchers, and you're at your best when, you know, in a larger sample size. So this is unusual, and this is certainly unprecedented, having 16 teams make the playoffs, 8 in each league. and have a team like the Dodgers, who played over 700 baseball, face the Brewers, who played under 500. So in a three-game series, anyone can beat anyone, and that's what's going to be so unusual this season, especially a lot of the teams on the road won their first games, the game one of these series, actually as a visiting team. So we'll see how it plays out, but that's how it started.
Doug Glanville, MLB analyst, well-regarded author as well, joining us this morning on the show. As I mentioned, the Rays are going to take on the Yankees. The Rays are the one seed of the American League. It is remarkable every year to watch what the Rays do with a budget cost-cutting roster, and they're just doing it yet again this year. What do you think is the secret sauce in Tampa Bay that they can do things that nobody else can do on a shoestring budget?
Well, I think playing against Tampa and losing to them is like death by a thousand bunts. I mean, they just, you know, they know exactly how to put players in the right situation. And you think we mentioned the fact that they don't have this big budget, so they find ways to find value underneath a rock. And so analytics have played a huge role in that. So this season, they are excellent on the pitching side. You know, they have the starting rotation. They have the bullpen. So once you get past the fifth inning, they kind of have a cavalcade of pitchers come out that are set up to match up well against their opponent, whether it's lefty versus lefty or a sinker baller to get a double play. So they've have that down to a science. And I felt strongly they would succeed this season because they thrive in small samples. They find that value. They find the right matchup. And by the time in a short season you figure out what they're doing, it's over. You've already had your series. So watch out for these Rays, because they get the hits when they need them, but they play excellent defense and they know how to pitch.
What was your takeaway yesterday of the thriller between the Braves and the Reds, a scoreless marathon that ultimately was won by the second-seeded Braves?
Well, the Braves have an incredible offense this season. They've you know, not only is it Freddie Freeman, who's probably going to be the MVP of the National League, but they have such young talent like Acuna Jr. So they're loaded, but they also have some nice arms in the bullpen. So here's a game that goes extra innings. It's 1-0 victory for the Braves. The Reds have fantastic pitching also, including who I think is a Cy Young Award winner yesterday, Trevor Bauer. But their challenge has been they've lived and died by the home run the entire season. 60% came via the home run, which is 9 percentage points higher than anyone else. And so that what that does is it exposes you when you have to manufacture runs, you know, go first to third, good base running, move the runner, get the bunt down, make contact. They had numerous opportunities to win, the Reds did, and every time they could not even just put the ball in play, let alone make contact. So that showed the Reds' Achilles heel, but it also showed the Braves' ability to make the big pitches when they needed to.
Doug Glanville, Major League Baseball veteran of 9 seasons, analyst as well. You saw him on ESPN yesterday, joining us this morning on the show, and he also teaches a class at UConn for sports and society. And boy, this is such an interesting time in American history of where sports and society intersects. I got to imagine that drawing up a lesson plan might have used to take a lot of creativity, and today it's just you pick up the newspaper or you watch the news and realize there's a million different ways to attack that subject.
Yeah, today, especially with, you know, the real-time impact of sports is like no other. And you think about how part of it is technology. You know, we have the video, we have social media, we have this ability to respond quickly. So, and everybody is their own media enterprise effectively, so you have that element. You also have the fact that, you know, athletes have taken activist stances to take on human rights issues and their concerns. And I think people are recognizing that all along sports has played this role. They have played this role. They've found that looking to sports for a sense of equity, you know, because you're playing by the same rules and they're supposed to be enforced the same way, or whether looking at it as a team of people from different backgrounds, figuring out how to play together for this common goal. I think of spring training. Every year I'd go into spring training and there'd be players from all over the world coming together, and you have preconceived notions about who they are, who they may be, who they voted for, whatever. But in the end, you have this data, this empirical evidence over 162-game season that sort of makes you rethink and reconsider reconsider your perceptions and reconsider your thoughts about someone from based on something that's external or stereotypical. And I appreciate that in sport. Excuse me, I appreciate that in sports because you do get this opportunity of that kind of intimacy. And so I think sports has a great role in showcasing our ability to be a team as a nation or ability to seek fairness for both sides and using that example of sport. So it's been a wonderful class, and this is my fourth year teaching it, and the students have been incredible. I've learned quite a bit, if not more, from them than them from me.
I'd love to know your thoughts on how athletes evolved into being public about their politics, because in the 70s, when you were growing up, we do have vocal athletes that are speaking out about social causes. By the 80s and 90s, that becomes very passe. You're not supposed to do that. You don't want to ruffle feathers. The infamous Republicans Buy Sneakers 2 by Michael Jordan. Today, it's so different. How did we get to a place where athletes are so comfortable being vocal about politics?
Well, part of it is there is sometimes a cyclical nature. Michael Jordan, for example, became, you know, sort of made, you know, the black athlete in some ways, the capitalist aspects of it in a way that was more comfortable because he didn't take on a lot of these issues publicly. And I think that, you know, sort of was a different history than, as you mentioned, the 60s and 70s. I do point to one major factor. First of all, video and social media are a huge part of it. The other side of it is we, being in a pandemic, there was a period where we had to reflect on our society without sports. We had to look at it through a different lens. And because of that, you know, athletes started to test the waters in some ways because they were engaging fans on different subjects that were not about their sport, but yet people were, you know, receptive. For example, all right, Steph Curry working out at his house. You know, we started to open up a little more to all these players engaging because there was no games, there was no sports. And then when we opened back up slowly, we started to pivot from, you know, our single-mindedness about dealing with this health crisis, which was understandable, to moving to, you know, the inequities in society. And we saw that many of them didn't just go away because we had this severe challenge in front of us. We started to look again and started to see the same challenges coming up, whether it's through policing or inequities and how who COVID is most affecting in terms of the disenfranchised or having in poverty. And athletes started to speak on those issues. And then some of those moments, like a George Floyd that was so upfront and personal, in broad daylight with such a disdain for humanity, that sort of really captured everything. And people started to reflect on Colin Kaepernick and his motivation and started to look at things in another light. And so that's the time. And athletes now realize that they do have this platform. They are in an environment that actually makes them uniquely qualified to bring people together and to fight for equitable outcomes. And so they've started to celebrate that power. And now it's going to be eventually it will shift to the action items, right? You want to make stances and raise the issues, but then you have to also shift to policy and shift to the social norms that we're challenging.
Doug Glanville joining us this morning on the show, talking about Major League Baseball's postseason. He also teaches a class at UConn on sports in society. Doug, always really fun to talk to you and pick your brain. Thanks so much for finding time for us this morning. Enjoy the rest of Major League Baseball's playoffs, and hopefully we can catch up again.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. Doug Glanville, excellent stuff. He's a guy that played in the Ivy Leagues and was an incredible engineering student at Penn and then went on to a 9-year baseball career. And now you see him on ESPN and other places discussing Major League Baseball, and a really really, really smart guy and a really cool guy to have here on the show. I appreciate that very much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.